Well, great to see you guys this afternoon. And Melissa says hello. She has been battling a pretty severe eye infection all this week. And we're not sure if it's contagious. So she's home and doing the thing. And so be praying for her. And, you know, five kids, homeschooling, you know, running a couple projects. We have a couple kitchens that we're doing right now. We have a small design build company. And so she's designing kitchens and doing all the things. And she's amazing. She's superwoman. And I was also in Nashville for 2 days this week. So she was also without assistance of me for 2 out of the 7 days. So she's a rock star, absolute rock star. So be praying for Melissa. And Nashville was amazing. Had a chance to go down and be part of a prophetic summit called One Nation Under God. And amazing voices were there. The Hammonds were there. Dr. Hammond, Jane and Tom Hammond, James Gull, Patricia King. Bunch of amazing voices. And so I had the real honor to share with them what I really feel like the Lord's doing in the prophetic movement. And so it was just, it was tremendous. And so I was very encouraged, actually, because there was multiple streams of prophetic voices that were a part of this. And it was just neat to see how everyone was really open to hearing and listening from other voices. And how many of that's actually, if you follow the prophetic movement, you know that's a pretty big shift. Because they've been hyper-camped, you know. We have the East Coast prophets, the Kansas City prophets, the Grace West Coast prophets, you know. There's all these different prophetic people, and they kind of cluster in tribes. And so it was really, really neat to see what was going on there. And so Barbara Yoder was in the mix. I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, different voices, different streams, and it was awesome. And so it was a joy to be there. So just the update is this. God's on the move. People are uniting, and I think something good is about to happen. Can I get a big amen? And so I want to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I want to hit this. We came across something in prayer. I got two things for you today. We'll start here. And we got this in pre-service prayer. The Lord was just stirring in my heart a few things, and so and we're going to go after this. And it was confirmed multiple times. Liz had a confirming word on it, and a few other people as well. And so excited just to push into this here just for a moment. Let's start in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." You know, I mean, just normal stuff. You know, you're out on a lake, a little bit of action going on. All of a sudden, something is there, and it's not in a boat. Normal stuff. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, good old Peter, willing to go first, right? "Tell me to come to you on the water." Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Someone say, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, if it's the Lord, he's going to tell you to come. Jesus said, come on. Come on out here. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. That's a good day, isn't it? I mean, Peter had to be on cloud 9 or on water 9. I don't know. But when he saw the wind, someone say when he saw. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, there's something significant about the moment you get out of the boat. And if you've been at Gen 1 for any length of time, I did a whole series on this for quite a while. I stayed on it about the courage to get out of the boat. And the short of that is simply this. When God is present, we have to get out of our comfortable place and be willing to get into an uncomfortable place. You know, and it's interesting, right now we are collectively as a society in an uncomfortable place. Look at your neighbor and say, you might already be in the water. You might already be there. I mean, you're here right now. You're at Gen 1. These people are strange. They talk about prophecy. They sing for an hour. It's like, what's going on around here? They believe in Jesus, that he's alive right now. Come on. They believe in signs, wonders, and miracles so much, they talk about it online where people can find out about it. These people are crazy. You might already be in the water. I'd actually like to prophesy to you right now that I think you are in the water. I believe we are on the water right now. I think there's been a move of God that's gotten us out of the boat. And that boat was religion. That boat was brokenness. That boat was all kinds of things. It's what you've had to overcome. You had to get out of the boat. You wouldn't be sitting here right now had you not overcome something significant in your life. At some point in your life, you have and will continue to see Jesus on the water and have had to know that when you see Jesus, that you have permission to come and to do as he's doing what he's doing. But there's something significant that happens in the water. You know, everyone always preaches, get out of the boat, get out of the boat. I believe as mature sons, as people who have a supernatural value set, as people who carry the wisdom of God, and move in the Spirit, and walking in what's happening right now, I think we're actually walking on the water. I think the testimonies that we carry are walking on water testimonies. They're not normal. The testimonies, these are not, we as a community don't carry just average stories. We have stories of breakthrough in this house that we've seen, that we've prayed for in a moment, in a meeting, in a house, in a car, out in the mission field, wherever we've been, where God showed up and it was heaven on earth. And everyone's just so focused on trying to get out of the water that they never prepare on what it looks like to stay walking on the water. Come on. When we were in prayer, this is what I saw. I saw two people trying to give each other a high five. Have you ever been in that embarrassing moment? You know, just like a little humanity here, right? That embarrassing moment where something really good happens. You're like, yes! And you miss. You know? It's like, like in sports, oftentimes you'll see this. And everyone's trying to give a high five. You leave someone hanging. Like the ultimate, you know, bro diss, you know, don't leave me hanging, right? All those things. Well, it's funny because I don't know anything about this, why this is the case, but what I do know is true, that if you want to give a successful high five, especially if you're moving fast, you don't look at the person's hand. Do you know where you're supposed to look to give the most successful high five? In their eyes. Because when you make contact with your eyes, your hands will go where they're supposed to be. Come on, somebody. And what I really believe the Lord's wanting to kind of communicate through this today for us is that the wind has been blowing. Peter was on the water. He was already out of the boat. But when he saw the wind, what do we know out of that? What does that tell us? What was Peter not doing? He wasn't looking Jesus in the eye. He'd gotten his eyes off of Jesus. And this isn't like a sin issue or a Peter's bad. No, it's a humanity issue that you're walking in the miraculous. This is amazing! And then someone's like, you're not very good at your job. You're going to sink here real soon. This can only last for 15 minutes. No one's going to believe you. Criticism comes, right? Condemnation comes. You start to measure your own ability. You start to measure your own worth. You start to measure how you think where you should be by now, considering the age you are and the things, other things you've done. Man, if I could just be as far along as that person, or know that individual, or have that much money, or do these things, I wish my life was more significant. All of a sudden, the winds come and our eyes get off of Jesus. But when you make eye contact, your hands will go where they need to go. Hands is what we do, right? It's about what we're going to do. And I feel like that there is a desire for us to do something right now. We feel this. It's in the culture right now. And there's like kind of this amped up energy. Like, I just got to do something. I just want to, if I see that news thing again one more time, if I scroll through and that person's saying it again. Like, all the things. We feel so invigorated with, like, the need to respond. And yet we don't know what to do. Our hands are empty. Things feel out of control, right? Right? A lot of things that we feel like we can't control. It's is it the health department? Is it our governor? Is it the Supreme Court? It's like, what's what? Who's who? Mask, no mask, red or blue, white or black, all the things. Is it easy? Is it wrong? Is it right? Is it this? Is it left? Is it right? All the things. And it's just like, if you get caught by the wind, your gaze will get off of Jesus. And I just really believe that there's the purpose in your life is worth keeping your eyes on Jesus. In our elections right now, it's worth keeping our eyes on Jesus. Our neighbors, our family, our friends are worth keeping our eyes on Jesus. How many of you can say that you've lost connection with certain people just over the cultural issues, COVID-19, elections? You can say that you, at least there's been distance. You know, a relationship has been redefined because of the pressures of what's going on in the nation. How many of you guys can say that? I know I have. That's hard. That's hard. Yeah? We're under pressure. And when you get under pressure, your need to be right increases. Because of the fear of the unknown. And in our desire to be right, we lose the focus on making sure that we're staying free. And right now, the point's to stay free. How do we stay free? Well, we walk in the truth, which is higher than being right, isn't it? How many know Satan was right in Matthew chapter 4? Yeah? With Jesus in the wilderness, he was right. Doesn't the Bible say? I mean, the devil's a theologian. He knows the word, the graphy. He knows the written scriptures. And he was saying them correctly. And yet Jesus knew that what he was saying wasn't true, even though he was quoting scripture. Oh, come on, somebody. How many know that when you leverage scripture to be right, but you're not using it as truth, you've partnered with the accuser? Maybe you're protecting your own interests. You're scared. If you feel the pressure, maybe you're protecting the interests of somebody else. Maybe there's all kinds of different reasons why we do this. But ultimately, especially as prophetic people, to even bring this back, this idea of even what I'm going to go after Tuesday night is just this idea that as prophetic people, we're trying to hear a word from God, right? We have a high value on the rhema of God, the word of God that comes as revelation from God to people. We love the rhema, right? And so we love, there's graphe, which is the written word, the logos, which is the conversation or persuasive word, and there's the rhema, which is the revelatory word. And so in the union of these three things is where truth exists. And so, but you know, it's easy for us as good charismatics in the room, prophetic people, that we love the rhema because it's like, Lord, give us a revelation, you know, and we want the fresh manna from heaven. And we have all these things that we say about what we think that is and our desire for it. And so when we do that, because we have such a value on it, we can't just let the cornflakes decide what we're hearing on any given day. Come on. The pizza last night cannot dictate whether or not I got a good word from the Lord. We actually need to hear from God, and we need to know how to judge that word to know that it's going to truly become truth so that it sets people free. This is a core value. If your perspective doesn't set people free, you might be right, but it's not the truth. And we need real wisdom today on how to maneuver through that. And how do you discover these things? Well, in the very essence of the basics, this Peter story is simply that. It's connection. It's connection. Peter's connection with Jesus dictated how he was able to move his hands and his feet, if you will, to walk on that water. There was an old song you sing it, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus in the weekdays. Anyone remember that old song? I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus through the weekdays. Something da 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 da. Like a hit on the radio. Isn't that terrible? We were so focused on Sunday, people had to start writing songs that you could still be saved Monday through Friday, you know? And, oh my gosh. It could have been, you know? I'm really thankful the Christian music's come a long way since the 80s. Hallelujah. Man. And so my question for you is this. Here's your opportunity for growth. What's the wind in your life? Peter saw the wind. What's your wind? It's different for all of us, isn't it? For some of you, maybe just someone who doesn't believe in you, maybe frustration for COVID-19, it may be limitations on your skill set. It may be, what's your wind? What's your distraction? What's the thing in your life that has placed itself in the way between you and Jesus and has given you the opportunity to do this? Huh? Come on. What's your wind? Think about it. Holy Spirit, what's my wind? What's the thing that's in within reach of me, within eyesight of me, that would want to be a distraction to keeping my eyes on Jesus? You know, it's been interesting as I, as my world's been changing a lot the last 2 years. I mean, it's been changing a ton, you know, and I've been, my role has been increasing in the marketplace and it's been taking up more of my time, and it's amazing because there's so much favor there, and it's very obvious it's where I need to be. You know, I need to be spending time in the marketplace and driving kingdom outcomes, and it's just really, really exciting what's happening. And I don't even really share a lot of these wins with you guys because there's so many other things going on in the church world that I need to make sure I'm present with you guys from a church context. But I mean, just the projects I'm working on that are solving problems in nations and different industries, and the amount of money that's being raised for these projects and the success behind these different things that are happening. I mean, it's really fantastic. And there's just a real favor. I'm sitting down with very influential people every week, and we're making powerful decisions and brokering relationships, and it's amazing. And I got involved with this grant program as well, and we're getting this off the ground, and you know, it's amazing. There's gonna be millions of dollars that funnel out into powerful organizations, and so it's just very, very exciting what's happening there. And yet, there's a little part of me that's like, man, as I get busier in these spaces, and I'm not always with people who are as kingdom as I am, maybe, you know, maybe they just love Jesus a little bit and have a good heart, you know? I mean, there's a difference between being radically saved and going to church on Sunday, you know? And so I'm bringing the kingdom everywhere that I go. Come on, somebody. But how many know that it's you gotta know where your source is when you start to go out into places and begin to bring reformation and change and confront systems? You gotta know who your source is. Doesn't matter how good of people you're working with, doesn't matter how much they love Jesus or don't love Jesus, in the end, when you begin to bring reformation into a system, you're gonna have confrontation. You're gonna have the wind right now. The more focused on your purpose you are, the stronger the wind is going to be. Come on. And this isn't like a, you know, higher levels, bigger devils crap. It's not that. This is actually the reality of your awareness. You see, because as you're aware of how big your purpose is, you're actually become more aware of the resistance that's there towards it. And so it's not that the enemy all of a sudden starts paying attention to you. It's actually you just realize how big the confrontation actually is in the exchange of heaven actually manifesting on the earth 24 hours a day. And so we as believers are being invited into this place, and it's amazing. And I, you know, you guys, I'm literally every day I am spending time with leaders talking about their purpose. You know, 80% of your success is connected to how you manage your internal world. 20% is hard skill, mindset, and you know, soft skill, if you will. That's 20%. 80% of what you do in your life, the fruit of your life, is connected to how you perceive and understand yourself. How you govern your world, how you prepare, how you understand yourself, your self-awareness there, your emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence. It's 80% of your success is connected to that place. And in that, you know, it's like I'm speaking to this and who people are, and it's like, it's purpose, it's purpose, it's purpose, it's purpose, it's purpose. And there is and as that increases, you become aware of the confrontation that's available in your life to actually say yes to who God's invited you to become. So we always say, God, what am I supposed to do when we're talking about our purpose, not realizing that the kingdom question is actually, God, who am I supposed to become and why do I exist? You know, your why is a higher form than your what. Your motivation for doing what you're doing is higher than the commitment of what you're going to do, because you actually have freedom to do many things as long as the motivation is from the Lord on the thing that you're doing. Yeah? So I'm sitting with people every day doing this. And in that, as I get out of some of the other flows that I've been in past seasons of my life, where it's just maybe a little more convenient to you know, to spend that, you know, extra, you know, few hours on a teaching series or revelation with the Lord, and now I got to be a little more disciplined in my time, making sure that what I'm giving to God is His first, and making sure that God as my source remains anchored as my days and my obligations increase. And I am working 6 days a week to do everything I'm doing right now. So it's like the intensity of that demand short term in my life requires me to know who my source is, so that when the winds come, that I keep my eyes on Jesus. And so it's like we do these healing room broadcasts, and I love these healing room broadcasts. You know why I love them? Because they're Kingdom 101. It's the basics. If the sick aren't getting healed, well, we might be a clanging cymbal. Because this is love in action, isn't it? If you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. I don't care how sophisticated you are. I don't care if you got the 10 million, you know, Series A. I don't care if you got whatever, who, what, how, when, how. If love is not being expressed, we've missed it, haven't we? And so how do we steward our source? Once you begin to measure the wind, once you begin to say, God, what's my wind? Show me what my wind is. Then we need to understand how much connection we need in that gaze. You know, for some of you, you might want to find deeper ways to be connected with God. And it may not be the typical thing that you've done in the past and the way that you've always related. Maybe you always related by listening to worship music, and that was the way you were connected. And some of you just like, you want to rightfully divide the word, and that's how you stay connected. And some of you just want to go get coffee with someone and talk about the Lord, and that's how you stay connected. I really believe that right now we're on the water, church. The winds are blowing in the earth, and there's a lot to look at and a lot to be distracted by. Come on, somebody. And we need to make a commitment that says, I'm going to deepen my connection with God right now, not deepen what I think I'm supposed to do. Because if my eyes are on Jesus, my hands will do what they're supposed to do. Come on. So God, what is my wind and how do I increase my connection? God, what is my wind, my distraction, and how do I increase my connection? Powerful question for us to ask. I'm asking the Lord these questions because the Lord's pulling something out of me right now that I cannot sustain. Drew Neal can't sustain this. I can't. What's happening is amazing. Things are happening right now that I've dreamed about for a long time. Impact I've dreamed about for a long time. Resources are coming together that are like our positioning, really radical outcomes for later. Because I'm thinking about later while I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And I've had to increase my connection. Because as I get more in my purpose, I'm realizing that there's more, that I need God even more than what I did previously. You see, some of us in previous seasons were doing good things, but maybe we weren't doing the central thing that we were made to do. Maybe we were full of nice things, but not doing great things. Maybe we were operating in biblical things, but not central to why we were created and why we exist. And I think what happens in pressure-filled times, people redefine their lives. We redefine, we begin to ask what really matters. During COVID-19 and the shutdown, people asked what really matters. And what happened because of that? People move states. Where do they go? Well, they went somewhere warm. Or they went back home. How many guys have, you know, people who went back to their original state during COVID-19, right? I know a bunch of people who did. You know, they were out doing their thing, having a career, doing this, and they were like, oh, COVID-19, I need to go home. I need a support system. You know, during these times, our lives get redefined about what's actually important to us. And I tell you what, I don't really believe that the winds are about to stop. But I do believe there's been a divine invitation into becoming more precise into who we are going to become. And even as a church, we're in that place. Who is Gen 1 going to become? We've done a lot of great things, but I really feel like the Lord's inviting us in to champion one or two things. I don't have language for all of that yet, and hopefully we can explore that together, but I do feel like it's a time of precision. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. It's a time of precision. So what does it look like for us to not have distractions? Sometimes the wind in your life is the thing that used to be so good yesterday. Anyone ever been there before? Man, that was so fun, and it was so good, and it was so amazing. Remember, remember, remember. And people who get caught remembering and hanging on to an old wineskin, oftentimes it becomes a distraction, right? So what's your wind, and how do you increase connection? What does it look like? Who do you need to call? What do you need to change in your schedule? How do you make your heart more available in the midst of the wind blowing? How do you make your heart more available to God? How do you let God into your difficult places? How do you let God into the mysterious places of your life? How can you gain clarity on who you are and why you exist? Two most important days are this: the day you're born and the day you know why. You know, there's a real need for us as believers to have answers for these questions. Knowing who we are, knowing why we exist. You know, the Bible is your last name. Do you know that it's not that special actually to be called a son or daughter of God? Do you know why it's not that special? Because everybody is. You know, we've been excited about I'm a child of God because we, like, all of a sudden we're like, I'm in! I made the club. I got the membership. I got the stamp. I got the seal. I am approved. I am a son of God. He loves me. And it's amazing, isn't it? But actually, when you think about it, the access that we just became aware of is actually available for the whole world. That access is not exclusive to you. God's love for you is not exclusive to you, meaning that it's only for you. It's available for the whole world. What God did through Jesus for you dictates your last name, but you have a first name in the kingdom. What is it? Who are you? My son Ephraim, many of you guys know the story, and I'm going to wrap up here. My son Ephraim, he's 12 now, and he's amazing. And when Melissa got pregnant, we were looking at names, and we wanted to name, you know, our child intentionally. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Melissa gets pregnant, and she just had a miscarriage and a kind of a difficult season. Miscarriage, her grandmother died in her arms in Arizona. She was there visiting her grandma. Her grandma has a heart attack, literally just collapses in her arms, boom, gone. And she just had this miscarriage, and so she was kind of out to go see grandma to get, like, consoled, you know, like. So it was a hard season. So, like, Melissa got pregnant again, and that was, like, really exciting for us. And of course, we just jumped right back in. We're like, hey, we're going to go after this, and we're going to believe, you know, that this is all going to work out. And so she gets pregnant. We're celebrating that. A woman in our church comes up to us, and she's an old saint, and she pointed her little finger in my face and said, you know, in her Texan accent, she's like, Drew, the Lord says you're going to have a boy, and he's going to be fruitful and multiply. I was like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, well, Melissa was actually 8 weeks pregnant. We knew. We hadn't told anybody. And so she's like, Melissa is pregnant, it's a boy, fruitful and of a double portion. And so we looked up the meaning of the name, and it was crazy because Melissa had been watching this television show on the WB called Everwood. I don't know if they're, you know, these some show, and had a character in Everwood, and one of the characters' names was Ephraim. And so she's like, she would come to me, she's like, hey, Drew, I really like this name, Ephraim. Like, it would be really cool to, you know, like, maybe name one of our kids Ephraim someday. I'm like, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm a little bit of a hard name to say. Not a real strong frame of reference. You know, will he get made fun of for his name? I don't know. We're kind of processing all these things. Then Sister Lita comes up to me when Melissa's 8 weeks and is like, fruitful and of a double portion. So we start looking up names for fruitful and a double portion. And guess what Ephraim means? Fruitful and of a double portion. And which was remarkable. And so, you know, our last name is Neil, and Neil means champion. And so I embrace that. I embrace the fact that we're called champions. And so I love talking about it with the boys, and we have some mantras that we do about being a champion. And, you know, my son, Ephraim, is a Neil. He got blood from me and Melissa, right? DNA is genes. He is a Neil through and through. He's part of the tribe. He gets access to my inheritance. Come on, and every day that inheritance is getting better because I'm investing into it. And so it is like, but that is his last name. His first name has nothing to do with me. I am not responsible for his first name, but I was responsible for his last name. And now he has to steward his first name of being fruitful and of a double portion. Now I can direct, I can correct, I can support, I can train him up in the ways of God. I can get him ready, but he's responsible to know who he is as a champion, anoint with a champion anointing to be fruitful and of a double portion. There's something unique about who you are that no one else in the room carries. There's something unique about who you are that becomes possible that when you're in the room, Christ in you looks like something that's unique to anyone else in the room. Because you were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and yet we're all unique. In this time of precision, we need to take the step from saying, thank you, Father, for the inheritance. Now, who have you, what is that inheritance supposed to empower or amplify or multiply in my life? Who do you say that I am? You see, you don't build the rock on the last name. You build your rock on the first name, on the revelation of who I am. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was with the rock that God, or Jesus said, the church would be built upon. The rock of your life, the rock of your purpose is built on the revelation of who you are. So who are we? Why do we exist? What's unique to who we are? Of course, the Lord can share these things with you, and if I can help bring clarity to that, I'm doing a lot of this right now. But I believe it's a time of precision. It's time for us to mine these things. And what I believe is going to happen is as we go to the Father and deepen this connection point, we are going to begin to have a greater revelation of the unique thing that we carry and what's possible through our life. When you know who you are and the winds are blowing, when you know who you are, you have internal controllers that help you manage how you respond to how the winds are moving so that you can keep your eyes on Jesus. God isn't going to make you keep your eyes on him. Come on. We have a choice to make right now. In 2020, we have a choice to make. When the wind is blowing, do I know who I am? Do I know who God says that I am? Do I know who I am in Christ? And will I keep my eyes on Jesus? What is the wind? And how do I deepen my connection? Father, right now I thank you for your spirit that's here. Father, I thank you for clarity that's here right now. Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing of discovery that's here right now. That, Lord, we'd be able to understand that, Lord, as we walk on water with you, that the winds are going to blow. That the winds are not commentary on my worth or my ability to be here, but Lord, they are commentary on the size of confrontation there is in me walking in my purpose. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and would you show us the wind in our lives? What are the distractions? What are the things that are catching our gaze? What are the things that are bringing us into competing commitments in our lives? For some of you right now, you need to even maybe write it down, even as the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Because this is a real opportunity. I believe that this is a word to get you ready. This is a word to get you focused. This is a word to get you prepared so that you can be all that God has invited you to become. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for that identifying word, Lord, on the winds. And so, Lord, right now we shift our heart, Lord, into this place of connection. Into this place of connection. And, Lord, we ask for your spirit, Lord, to speak, to move, to stir in us right now. Kristen's going to come and just throw some pads on for us. I want us to just take a moment here. I got just a minute left here with you guys. And as she comes, we're just going to set an atmosphere here because I believe the Lord is wanting to make a connection with you right now. I believe the Lord's wanting to speak something to you right now. The Lord is wanting to awaken something right now. The Lord is wanting you to see something right now. So, Father, we set our eyes on you. Come on, I just want you to envision the Father. Father God, come close. Come on, look him in the face. Look light in the face. Look love in the face. Do you see his eyes? Full of compassion. Maybe the flicker of a flame. The courage of a lion. And the gentle spirit of a lamb. We set our eyes on you. We set our eyes on you. Father God, is there anything you want me to know? Would you just say that with me? Father God, is there anything you want me to know? Come on, look love in the face. Father God, is there anything you want me to know? Say this with me, Father God, how do you feel about our connection? If you didn't get an encouraging response, I'd throw that one back. One more. Say, Father God, how can I become more aware of our connection? Thank you, Lord. Father, let your love just move through this place right now. Lord, let that hug in the Spirit just happen right now. Lord, that we would know you're close, that we're connected, that we're one with you. Lord, let your love come in a new way, in a fresh way. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody get something encouraging from the Lord right there? I got something. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for deepened connection. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what it is that you're doing. Lord, what it is that you've invited us into. And so, Lord, this week, I just declare, Lord, a radical explosion of progress. Lord, as our eyes are fixed on you. Lord, when our eyes are fixed on you, our hands know what to do. Will you say that with me? When my eyes are fixed on you, my hands know what to do. One more time. When my eyes are fixed on you, my hands know what to do. Father, I thank you right now for your Spirit that's resting on us in a fresh way. And I thank you for the great faith that is stirred here tonight. Lord, we bless every person that's here right now in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen.